Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Let's talk to Terry Savage right now. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. She's the nationally syndicated financial columnist and author. TerrySavage.com is the website. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Oh, you have me shivering. You know, I'm so claustrophobic that I never sit on the inside of a booth. I've been trying desperately to ignore that countdown.
I did not know that about you. Wow.
Yes. I mean, elevators don't bother me, but if I go out to dinner and, you know, if you're the woman, you typically slide in. People who have dinner with me know that I have to be on the outside edge of a booth.
It must be just terrifying for anybody. I presume nobody going in there is claustrophobic, but now they must be thinking they're not coming or they can't get there in time.
I'm claustrophobic at the idea of our space station, and they get to get in and out. They have a way in and out.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not talk about underwater, because the one thing not underwater is the stock market and interest rates, and nobody seems to care. The Fed is saying, the Fed chairman testifying before Congress saying, yeah, we know we haven't beaten inflation. We're not frantic about it anymore. I mean, there's no real urgency of now, but we are going to move rates higher. We know we haven't beaten inflation, and the stock market is going, okay, we'll deal with that. And, you know, yeah, the markets, you see red if you're looking at red and green across the top, but the Dow's down 25 points. The S&P 500 is at 4370. We're going to mention that more often because the S&P is an interesting index, highly dominated by tech stocks, which moved it higher. So it was like 80% of the gain or 85% of the gain came from fewer than 20 stocks, the big tech stocks in the S&P 500. But it's trading at 4370, down 18 points. So the market's not doing much. T-bill rates moved up. If the auction were right now, you'd get 5.3% on three-month bills, 5.4% on six-month bills. We'll see what happens when the next auction is this coming Monday. And everybody's kind of like, okay, it's all right. The Fed's got it under control. They're going to raise rates, but they're not going to scare us. We better buy stocks or we might be left out. Mm-hmm. And Wall Street is having this big debate. Is this the beginning of a new bull market? Can we see the end of the Fed being, going against the market by raising rates? So there's a great fear of being left out. There are a lot of Wall Street analysts going, okay, now we think not only will the S&P go over 4,400, maybe it'll go to 4,500. It's a big, pretty big percentage gain. There's just an awful lot of general optimism.
Yeah.
And I think that's scary.
I'm sorry to hear you say that, because the Fed is not trying to kill the markets, they're trying to slay inflation. Is it possible that the Fed can raise interest rates a quarter point another two times, and maybe that will finally resolve the inflation issue, but the markets don't go tumbling down? Is that a possible scenario?
Well, here's the logical response to that. If you can get 5.5%, which you can roughly, and probably maybe even closer to 6% if the Fed does increase rates more, if you can get 5.5 to 6% with safety, why on earth would you take risk investing in the stock market, which has a dividend yield of under 3%, around 3%? I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
Well, how
much money, especially if the Fed's slowing the economy and earnings are going to come down. So PE multiples might come down, especially as earnings forecasts come down. You are taking, relatively speaking, more risk in the moment.
I get that, but is there a limit to how much money I can put into what you just described as 5.5%?
Depends on who you are, and that's the critical ingredient. I'm not worried for the next round for America. I mean, I have a lot of political things that worry me about extremism and so forth, but economically speaking, I think we're going to be set up pretty well going forward. So, of course, you always have a portion of your money invested in the stock market, just S&P 500 stock index fund in your 401k plan. And the younger you are, the more time you have for what's always worked to work again, the stock market making you money. I just sense from the questions we get online and people we talk to and the posts I get on my blog that a lot of people who are paying attention to our wonderful show every day are people who have made some money and are more cautious about keeping it in their retirement years. I just don't sense that we've got a bunch of young traders out there who really care about T-bills at all.
But quite literally, Terry, is there a limit to the amount of money I can park in something that's going to get me 5% right now?
No, there's no limit.
I could take all of my assets right now, turn them into cash, and then go buy treasury bills.
Right. And right now, remember, for three or four or 5 years.
I'm thinking I might do that, Terry.
Well, but you're too young.
Okay. But I can always win. I know what you're about to say, but let me just do this.
Okay.
And then when the market starts to get better.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Then I'll get back into the market.
Hey, the market has started to get better since last October,
okay, so,
in case we haven't noticed.
Should I be buying
Did you
five?
Know then?
Well, then should, I don't know, but so should I be putting money in treasury bills and get to 5%, or should I be in the market right now and then watch it go up 6?
A portion and a portion. I'm pulling up right now while we talk.
Okay, wait, hold on.
There's a great website. I know you're going to commercial. But,
yes, I am.
Okay, but wait. While you're in the break, there's a website called Big Charts. It's part of MarketWatch.com. Just so BigCharts.com. You can see the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the NASDAQ and the S&P 500. I'm going to do that while we're on break, and I'm going to tell you where the bottom was. And let's go back and think about what we were talking about last October in the bottom, okay? Here's what I found. Now, look, I don't have secrets from you all. So I gave you a website. This is where you should go if you want some perspective on the market. Go to Big Charts, BigCharts.com. It's free. Now, let me give you some numbers. Put this in your head. Right now, we are at Dow 34,000. Right at the moment, 34,033. So call it 34,000. The Dow high forever was at 36,799, so call it 36,800.
All right.
Like about 28 points higher. That happened in January of 22. And then we had some really rough times in the market, as you may remember. Let me go back and find this chart. Okay. I'm looking back over the last year, the 1 year chart of the Dow. If you look back over that, I'm going to pull up my personal calendar on my Outlook and find out where we were and what we were talking about. In October, twice, the market touched down below 28,660. So 28,660 in the most recent past, when you and I have been on the radio talking about it, up to 34,000 today, about 2,800 points below its all-time high. But just in the last 6 months, 28,000 to 34,000, my goodness gracious. Now, we don't call markets on this show. That's not what this show is all about. But let me just go to my calendar and remember what we were doing and talking about.
Were you telling us to buy equity? Were you telling us to go into equities last October?
You know, I have never changed my tune, and you know that. My tune is that depending on your risk tolerance, your stage in life, your need for the money, you always need some stock market exposure.
Well, sure we do. But I mean, back then we should have known it's going to come back. It was at 39 once upon a time, and that it's not unreasonable.
History says it always comes back. That's the entire point I'm trying to make. But if you're going to have a heart attack in between, and nobody knows exactly how long it takes to come back,
in one decade,
the market never came back. And I'm talking about the decade of the 70s. The Dow was over 1,000 in 72, and in 82, it was still well below 1,000.
Wow.
Okay? In the beginning, in 73, that crash, the Dow fell to a low of 570.01 intraday. I remember that because that was the days of the option trading floor. A decade later, when Nixon, you know, opened the gold window and all of that, the Dow was still under 800. Like nothing very much happened for a whole decade. And people went, stocks, ugh. Now, we live in a fast-moving time. It's unlikely that the market is going to trade in a range for 6 months, much less 6 or 10 years. But the point is the vacillations of the stock market, the oscillations up and down, are so much more dramatic because we live in this time warp that if you are in a position where you need the money, you have to sell to take your RMD, you just can't sleep at night and it's going to shorten your retirement that much, then you have to have less money in the stock market. But you always have to have some. I have never changed my tune ever because I know it works, and I did it and it works.
The market may improve, but I can't imagine anybody would be unhappy with getting 5% in any product right now, be it a stock product or some fixed product. And you can get 5% on a treasury bill. So all of this talk you and I are having about the strength and optimism of the markets in the long run, who's going to be unhappy with 5% these days?
Well, only someone who says, ooh, gee, I was going to buy XYZ stock and it's up 30 or 40%.
Yeah.
Or, ooh, look at Bitcoin. It was down to 16,000 in the fall and it's rallying today and it's, last I looked, around 28,000. So that's the person who's going to be upset with 5%. But you have to know who you are.
Terry, before we go to some listener questions, anything else you want to say?
No, I posted a column, though, maybe we could talk about it later, about your home and what's going on in the housing market. So let's come back to that, though. I love the questions part.
I do like what you posted about that. We will get to that. But let's start with the question we mentioned before the break. My insurance agent is suggesting I buy whole life insurance for my newborn grandson. Good idea?
You are buying whole life insurance for his newborn grandson or her. Newborn grandson, you need to open a 529 college savings account with that money. There is no reason to pay the mortality charges that come with life insurance to get tax-deferred growth, which you would presumably use to pay for college. When you can avoid that cost, if you're in Illinois, go to brightstart.com, buy direct from Brightstart, the 529 plan that lets you invest conservatively, or for a newborn, you do the age-based plan where they invest more aggressively at the start. You get a tax deduction on your Illinois state income taxes for up to $10,000 of contributions, and the insurance salesman loses a commission. Now, someone's going to say, but what if my kid gets to be 25 and he's uninsurable, or the grandson? Well, A, you won't be around to see it. You might be around to see the child go to college, though, with money from the 529 plan. And B, if you have a 25 or 26-year-old who is uninsurable for some horrible, terrible reason, getting death benefits is not going to benefit the parents or whoever would get the death benefit. So don't insure your children in a life insurance policy, either for savings or for fear that one day they might be uninsurable. Pray that they'll always be uninsurable and healthy, and then make sure that you have money for their college by opening a 529 account.
But a 529 has to be used for education, and a whole life product, the assets could be used any way you want.
So what's a 30-year-old going to take the cash value out of a whole life policy? That's
Well, if they were paying into it since you were two, there would be considerable assets that would have accumulated.
There would be considerable commissions generated and considerable costs, and the returns over the long run should be much higher.
But then would you suggest that I put it in the... Okay, but excluding the education concern, and what better investment than education? But
it's tax-free. It all comes out... It's not a borrowing. It all comes out tax-free for education. If you want to make assumptions... Look, if you want to make assumptions about your grandchild's future... Mm-hmm. Let's assume that he or she is going to be healthy and smart and go to college, period. Not let's assume that they might be 27 and uninsurable, so it's a good thing you bought it at 6 months and put some money in it. So there are a lot more problems if your grandchild gets to the point where, you know, they can't buy life insurance. And by the way, at 27, if, God forbid, the grandchild is not healthy and not insurable, why would they need life insurance then? They're not going to be married or have children if they're that unhealthy that they can't buy their own life insurance.
Right. We're talking about life insurance, not health insurance. Not
we're talking about
coverage.
Life insurance, you asked.
347 said, how concerned should I be having more than $250,000 in any institution?
You should not have, as a matter of principle, a matter of law, more than $250,000 in any FDIC-insured bank. Now, yes, 12 people are going to say, oh, I know, but it's a trust and I have two beneficiaries, so they're each covered. Yes, that's true. In fact, on the homepage at terrysavage.com, under the financial links, prominently posted, click on it, is a link to how to make sure that you could be insured, depending on how the accounts are set up, above $250,000. But I'm saying to you, you. Why do you want to split those hairs? If you want to keep a couple hundred thousand dollars in the bank, good for you. You could take me out to lunch then. I guess you'll have enough interest. But the rest of the money, go buy treasury bills, IOUs from the federal government. On Monday, there'll be another auction. Probably pay close to 5.5%. You go to treasurydirect.gov, and in that same section, right next to the FDIC link at terrysavage.com, is a link to how to buy treasury bills.
Right.
Everything you need to know.
From last week, hey, Terry Savage, is my 403B insured?
Your 403B is not insured as to the value of your account. If the market crashes and you're all invested in aggressive stocks or the most aggressive mutual fund, that loss isn't insured. But the loss against any mismanagement by the trustees is insured.
If I sell my house that my husband and I bought together, now he is gone, what about taxes if I sell?
Well, it depends on how the house was titled. And if it was in joint name, then and he died, the value of his share, your cost on his half of the house, is the value on the date of his death. The first rule about taxes on the sale of a home is each individual can exclude $250,000 worth of capital gains. And if you were both alive and the house had appreciated $400,000, you were filing a joint return, it was your principal residence, you would have no tax on the gains because you could exclude $500,000. Now you have to talk to your tax preparer because the value of your, you have to figure out what your cost basis was for the whole house. Then you have to add in, we put on the addition in 2002, and we did the new roof of 5 years ago, and then my husband passed away. What was the value on the date of his half on the date of death? That becomes your new cost basis for half the house, and your original cost basis plus the improvements is your value for the sale. And you don't have to worry about it if it's a relatively small gain, but if you're trying to get around taxes, you need to work with your accountant.
Hey, Terry. Hey, John. My bank is offering a 7-month 5% CD. Do I get the full 5% at the end of 7 months? If so, that would be better than 6 months at 5.5 T-bill, right?
No, I was never good at math in the word problem section.
Sounds like those are
but
about the
point
same.
Is, the interest rate is the interest rate, the annual percentage rate. The interest in your CD is probably compounded daily, weekly, probably. But you're not getting more money for the same period because the rate is lower. Frankly, unless you're getting millions of dollars and you're not leaving that in the bank in a CD, it's not going to matter very much. We already, John, you and I, over the last year, we started talking about getting higher interest rates on T-bills well over a year ago. At the time, the banks were paying 1%, 2%, and nobody woke up to that. So you and I did the yeoman's job of getting no commissions, but telling everybody how to go to the Treasury. At the time, the rates were 4%. Now they're close to 5.5%. You get the interest on at that rate for the amount of weeks or months that you own that security or that CD. You're not gaming this in that way. You're just trying to make sure you're not being taken advantage of by leaving money in there at 1%. And people are.
But forget about the numbers for a minute, but a CD is as good an idea as a T-bill if you're both getting about 5 or 5.5%.
Exactly.
But a CD is more liquid, right?
Well, you'd have a penalty if you broke out of your CD.
Fair enough.
Unless it was in an IRA. And you can't get out of the T-bill until the maturity date.
So they both have a bit of a lot.
A bit of a restriction.
How many treasury bills can a person have, says 847?
You can never have too many treasury bills. If you have an extra $10 million sitting around, you can buy T-bills. It's all from the government. It's directly IOU from the government. So in that regard, it's an insurance priority almost higher than FDIC insurance.
Our number is 312-981-7200. You call or text that number. 312 did, and they said, if college is not an option, can you still use the 529 plan, presumably as an investment? Terry will answer that in a minute. Right now, we've got more business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
A state lawmaker wants to add a 2% tax on ticket sales for events held in Chicago parks.
Democratic State Representative LaShawn Ford of Chicago is behind the proposal. According to Block Club Chicago, the revenue from the tax would go directly to the neighborhoods or communities that host events. Funds currently go to the Chicago Park District, but the district has the final say on where the money is spent. Ford says concert attendees would be happy to pay an additional fee if they know the money is going directly to the community. He has the support of community members and at least one alderman so far. Return to office numbers are up again in Chicago. Data supplied to Crane shows 54.7% of workers are back in the office, a post-pandemic high. The rate exceeds the national average by 5%. Figures are compiled by real estate technology firm Castle Systems from security card swipes. It's an unofficial snapshot of the return to office because it's only from buildings that use Castle technology. Houston leads big cities with 60.6%, Los Angeles is at 49.6%, and New York City is at 48.1%. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Thank you. I've got a farmer on the phone from Iowa, John Hafler. It's dry around these parts, John. How's it over there?
We are very dry here, too. We haven't had a whole lot of rain for about 3 weeks, I bet.
Well, that's not why John's on. I will tell you why after I tell you we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. It is June Dairy Month, and John runs the Hafler Dairy in New Vienna, which is where, John?
We are about 25 miles west of Dubuque.
Oh, close to the Field of Dreams?
Yep, we're just north of the Field of Dreams.
John runs the 220-cow dairy with his two adult sons and with his husband, Andy Ferguson, who also has an off-the-farm job as a school principal in Dubuque. It is the second marriage for both. The first ones were to women.
25 years ago, I got married and had kids and normal things to do, I guess.
17 years ago, when the kids were 2, 4, 6, and 8, John decided it was time.
Found the courage to tell my wife that I was gay. And
did you know you were gay before you got married to John?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I suspected I was, but I just didn't want to go down that path because we grew up in a small German Catholic farming community.
There were other people to tell.
My mom was very supportive, and the rest of my family was very supportive of me, too.
With one big exception, his dad.
We didn't talk to each other for about 2 years, I think.
And being the owner of the farm, his dad could have just given him the boot, but...
Mom stepped in and said, he's your son. If you kick him out, I'm going with him.
Dad came around, and in the years before he passed, a year and a half ago, he and John were good, thanks in part to the way the rest of the community responded to John and eventually his marriage to Andy.
Yeah, that's what helped my dad when he saw everybody else, like, hey, you know, so what?
All in all, John's decision to come out in a rural religious community could have had a worse outcome.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be devastating.
And the cows don't care, do they?
The cows do not care, though.
Well, happy Pride Month and happy June Dairy Month to farmer John Hafler. If only those cows could give rainbow-colored milk.
Yeah.
From the farm to your belly, today is National Peaches and Cream Day. It's also a National Smoothie Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Terry, more questions? You want to start with that last one we asked before the break?
Yeah, go back and tell me that again. It was about Roth. It was about 529 leftovers?
Yep.
Leftovers, they're not just great at Thanksgiving dinner anymore.
If college is not an option, can you use the 529 plan for something else?
Yes, starting next year, you can do that easily. Because under the most recent tax law, you are able to convert without taxes and without penalties up to $35,000 in a 529 plan to a Roth IRA, which is owned by the beneficiary of the 529 plan. There are some caveats. That account must have been opened for at least 15 years, which is another good reason to start early. And any earnings, I'm trying to remember that, earnings have to be in there for 5 years, so nothing newer than 5 years. And it's subject to the annual limit, so presumably that beneficiary who's not in college but maybe got a scholarship and graduated and is working would have IRA income limits for contributing to an IRA and amount limits. So $6,500, let's say, would be the amount. So you could do it over a period of years till you converted up to $35,000. So it's technical. It starts next year. There'll be a lot more about that. But yes, leftover IRA money. Of course, you know it could go to another child in the family. But that's the first thing I should have said.
529 plan. What if my grandchild lives in a foreign country?
I don't know about distributions.
I've never heard of that.
It has to be a qualified distribution, but to an educational institution, I'd have to research that.
What is the annual limit amount that I can contribute to a Roth IRA or a 403B?
Those are different. Those are different.
Well, they're saying combined. So would you, I guess we could just add the two together. No.
Well, you're eligible for a Roth IRA based on income. And if you are 50 or older this year, you can put in $7,500 in 2023.
Okay, there's
one. Okay. And if you're under that age, it's $6,500.
What about a 403B?
But your 403B is determined by your employer and the percentage of it. There are a lot of restrictions around that. Your employer will tell you the max that you are allowed to contribute to your 403B.
But does one offset the other, do you think?
No. They don't offset the other, but you have income limits to contribute
Got
to
it.
A Roth IRA.
Got it.
So if you're at the point... And I could give you a rough idea because I don't have that at the top of my head. Single filers, in order to contribute this year to a Roth IRA, you have to have modified adjusted gross income of less than $153,000 in 2023. If you're married, modified adjusted gross income of less than $228,000. So what I'm saying is, if you're bumping up against the maximum contribution to your 403B, I think you probably might be above the income limits that allow you to contribute anything to a Roth IRA.
Got it. How about this question from Mark? You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Mark, what can we do for you?
Hey, just a different outlook on the 529, and you may have just touched on that. Between two of my boys, there's money left over. Between one going to community college and the other one going into the trade, there's money left over that's probably not going to be used for college. And my financial planner said, start thinking of this as your money. It's not necessarily for them. And we're probably going to leave it into the 529s until they're 30. And at that point, I'm going to start thinking about that leftover money as part of my nest egg.
No, you're not. You're not, because you're going to pay a 10% penalty in taxes on the withdrawal. Whereas when they're 30, they've got a job. And let's say they say, well, it's not a very good job, and, you know, I just got engaged and I don't have enough money to contribute to a plan. You could say, well, we have $22,000 left over. We're going to convert money from your 529 plan without penalty and without taxes into a Roth IRA. We're going to do that for you for the next couple of years.
Okay, but are you saying that the recipient of that money has to be the kid, not Mark?
The recipient has to be the kid, not the parent.
Mark, you could ask them to give the money back to you.
No, you couldn't.
You could.
Oh, for a... John,
assuming they're going to get it when I die anyway. Maybe I can't. Well, it's just a thought. Just a thought.
No, you don't want to pay taxes and a 10% penalty. If you take, other
well,
than
otherwise
this new
he
law.
Gets not, okay, I'll be quiet.
Listen to me. Other than the new law, which allows this conversion, if you took the money out of a 529 plan, and I always used to joke, okay, you're a grandparent, you put all this money in a 529, you find you have the world's most ungrateful grandchild. What can you do? Number one, you can turn it over to another grandchild. This is not your son's daughter, your daughter's son can use it. But if you don't have that opportunity, you can always take it back by paying ordinary income taxes in your own tax bracket and a 10% penalty. If later on in life, not only do you not like your grandchild, or you never, you know, but you just need the money back. But in this case, now the government's done something really incredibly clever, which is rare. And they've said, yeah, the beneficiary, you can jumpstart a Roth IRA, not a traditional IRA, a Roth IRA, allowing you to contribute money from a leftover 529 plan under certain circumstances, held 15 years and a certain amount every year. The kid gets in and gets a head start on tax-free growth for retirement. That's what you want to do, Mark.
Okay, Mark, I'm out of time. Remember, we turned this show into a podcast. So if some of the strategies or numbers you're listening to, you can write down fast enough or you want to play it for your financial advisor, go to WGNradio.com and look for the podcast of the Wintrust Business Lunch after the show today. All of this will be there. Lots of questions texted in about kids' loans, about IRAs, about cosigner on a college loan. We didn't even talk about housing, Terry. We have to get to that next week.
Next week. Perfect. There'll be plenty of time.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
TerrySavage.com. And yeah, if you go to TerrySavage.com, she talks about your home and the investment that it represents. You can read that right now at TerrySavage.com.